Father, we're just so blessed to just acknowledge who you are, to be able to worship you, just to exalt you and to lift you up and give you the worth that you deserve. Father, we just thank you for being here with us, and we do just acknowledge you as our Lord, our Savior, and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be casual today. This isn't going to be normal. But I thought we would have a fireside chat this morning. But then I thought, you know, fireside probably doesn't work when it's like 110 outside. So we'll just have a chat. But I wanted to share with you, I'm going to steal somebody's stand up here. Matt. I just wanted to share with you a little bit more of my background so that you can get to know me better. Share with you what my thoughts, what my heart is, what my vision is, and what I see God doing at Echo Mountain. I want to begin, though, by saying this is not the beginning of something new. This is a continuation of what God has already been doing and continues to do at Echo. I'm not replacing Pastor Dale. As Pastor Dale and I talked about it, he said, and I agreed, that it's just a passing on of the baton. God is still working. God is still the one in charge. And he's just going to continue using me however he's going to use me. But just want to make that clear that this is still God's church. And I just have the privilege of being able to serve in this capacity. And I want to thank you for your vote of confidence and for giving me the opportunity to serve you this way. As I see it, God works in every believer's life and even in the life of the church through what I call seasons. He has different seasons, seasons where God plants in our lives, seasons where God fertilizes, seasons where God grows, seasons where sometimes God does some pruning, which we know is not always fun. But God puts us through seasons, and I think he's even been doing that within the church. Ecclesiastes 3:1 reminds us that for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, all of which are for his purpose. And, of course, I'm reminded of Jeremiah 29:11 that tells us that nothing comes as a surprise to God. He knows the plans he has for us, the plans for our welfare, not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And that's where I see us. Now, what season we're in, you know, God's the one that's in control. I think God's been doing a lot of planting. He's been doing a lot of fertilizing, a lot of growing. He's been doing a lot of pruning. But I'm trying to figure out what season we're in. I think he's maybe back in the planting and fertilizing season. But it's just exciting to see what God is doing and what God is going to continue to do. And I have really, really great confidence that God's going to do some incredible things. And as I've shared with a lot of you, confidence and the same excitement that I do. And believe me, I am really excited. So having said all that, just to kind of lay, you know, a little preface here, I wanted to share about me so that you can get to know me better than maybe you already do. I grew up in what I call a religious family. And by religious, I mean we had to go to church every Sunday, even though my dad didn't see the necessity. But as kids had to go to church every Sunday, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't get divorces, you don't. They had this whole list of things that you do and don't do. And that was what I grew up thinking Christianity was all about. And then, of course, in high school, Kathy and I started dating, and we dated for a little over 3 years. And then when she graduated from high school a year after I did, we got married and 2 days later moved to Arizona from Phoenix. I grew up in a little tiny farm community back in Michigan. People will say, well, we're at Michigan, because everybody knows about Detroit and Ann Arbor and all that. And I always say we're like right about there in Michigan. About 45 minutes from Toledo, you know, about an hour from other, I mean, just right down there in the bottom. But grew up in a little farm town, did all the farming stuff. I was not a farmer. I hated every minute of it. But you know, when you're a kid, you do what you're told. And so that's what I grew up with. But when Kathy said we were dating, and she says, I hope you like the West, because that's where we're going. And I said, let's go. So we did. We got married, and 2 days later moved to Arizona. And we've been here now, let's see, this month. Well, actually, in just a few days, July 10th, it'll be 42 years. So, you know, when people say, have you acclimated yet? I don't know. I love the cold. So when it gets cold, you know, most people are wearing their jackets and I'm still in short sleeves. I like the cold, but I've also learned how to tolerate the heat. In the middle of the summer, I'm still out playing tennis. If you don't already know, I love tennis and I play as much as I can. Even had the privilege of playing with Matt here a few weeks ago and need to get him back out again. But love tennis. Anyway, so that was my growing up. So then Kathy and I, we got married, and both of us were going to ASU. I was studying for mechanical engineering, and we were going to ASU full-time. We both had jobs that we were doing. Of course, neither of us were still Christians, so we were doing all the things that the secular kids do. Whenever we had any waking moments, we were partying. And about 2 years into our marriage, all of this just killed us. You can't, as you probably know from experience, live that kind of a lifestyle and get away with it. And it really caught up to us. And, of course, Kathy grew up in a family where, you know, very liberal. You know, if something doesn't work, you just chuck it and start over again. And so she was starting to throw out ideas like, you know, maybe we shouldn't stick together. Well, that was like God punching me in the face, because I grew up that divorce is a no-no. And so that was a wake-up call. So we decided we'd give it another 3-4 weeks and just see how things work out. Well, one of my very, very close friends that I'd gotten to know here in Arizona had kind of been distant for a while. I hadn't heard from him. And then he came back into the picture, and he was not the same friend that I knew before. He had completely changed to this. And I'm like, who are you? Come to find out, he had come to know the Lord. And in just a very short few weeks, God had done some radical changes in his life. Well, for Kathy, who grew up in a non-religious family, she saw the change, and it was like, wow, that's what I need. And so there was no second thoughts. She immediately gave her life to Christ. Me, coming from an engineering background, and Chuck will appreciate this, I had to check it all out. You know, I had to make sense. You know, all these things that I had been taught, how does that all come into play? And now you're telling me. So it took me about 3 more weeks, 4 weeks, and then finally it all made sense, because I was seeing the radical change God was doing in Kathy's life. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot more to this. This is not just a head thing. This is in the heart. And so that's when I gave my life to Christ. And I'll tell you what. God did some amazing things. He pulled our marriage together, and we just became best of buddies. And God has just continued to do some great things. So anyway, that's how I came to know the Lord. We, not long after that, got very involved in a small Bible church. And it was in this Bible church that we got plugged into doing youth ministry. And, I mean, I was so eager and hungry to serve God in some capacity. And it's like, I don't care. You know, where do you need me? And they said, well, we need somebody over the youth. And we're like, okay, we can do that. Well, it was interesting, because we had 8 to 10, maybe 12 kids. And there was this one boy that kept coming very faithfully. I found out he was a Mormon. Well, I didn't know, you know, Mormon, whatever. He's just another person, another religion, but whatever. But I thought, I better understand this better. So I made it a point to really study Mormonism and to find out, where's this kid coming from? Well, this was up in Prescott Valley. So his parents drove all the way to Phoenix to go to their church. they didn't want to come all the way back down a second time for their kids to be in a youth group, so they figured, yeah, we're safe. So they went ahead and had him come to us. So I studied and I got to know a lot about Mormonism. The thing that I kept getting challenged with was, okay, that's what they believe, but now how do you counteract that? What do you say to them? What does the Bible say about that? And there is lots and lots of books out there that talk about the cults, but then they always stop short. What do you say to them? How do you talk to them when they come knocking at your door? And so I started to develop, through just trial and error and experience, a way to be able to talk to these people. Well, at the same time, Kathy had three brothers. She still has three brothers, but at that time had three brothers that were all Jehovah's Witnesses. And I thought, oh, okay, well, here's another one out there. I guess I better get to know what they are all about. So I spent a lot of time studying Jehovah's Witnesses and got to know what they believe. And again, but what do I say to them? How do I talk to them as far as Scripture is concerned? So through trial and error, I kind of figured out, you know, the best ways to do that. There was a reason for all of this. God used that to just really pierce my heart for people that have a passion and a love to get to know God, but have been lied to and deceived by the enemy and pulled into a false teaching. And it crushed me as I got to know family members and this young man and others that were starting to come into our lives, that look at what the enemy's doing. And so I made it my passion for, it was 15, 20 years that I had a ministry called Cult Awareness Ministry, CAM Ministry, where a number of us would get together on a regular basis and we would talk about the different things going on in the cults. And we developed the program on based on these things, how do you counteract? And I would teach Christians, here's what the cults believe, here's how you talk to them. So this was good. It went on for years, and I was also involved in different churches throughout this period of time, doing different types of ministry, from being a youth leader to leading Bible studies to whatever I could do to just serve. I just was always passionate about serving. And I noticed toward the latter end of my CAM ministry that I was starting to see a shift in how the enemy was working. You know, he was going after people outside of the church and trying to draw them into these false teachings. And now suddenly I'm starting to see what I was teaching Christians about the cults is moving into the church. Pastors were starting to compromise the Word of God, and they were starting to teach these feel-good things that were not in the Scriptures. And I'm like, you know what? The enemy is now going after the body of Christ. You know, he's not dabbling out here. He's going right at us. And so, again, God started to do a shift in my whole passion and my whole focus. And I now had a real desire to bring truth to the body. Keeping people in the Word of God and to understand truth and not to be pulled aside by false teaching and all this deception and so forth. So anyway, through all of that, it was in 1984, I had a calling, just a deep desire to go to Bible college. I wanted to take all this passion and maybe make it more formal. What could God truly do with me and how could he prepare me? So I went to Bible college and I took pastoral studies as my primary interest because I figured it would give me the most breadth of understanding of what goes on in the church. But at the same time, I kept telling God, God, I will do anything for you. Just don't make me be a pastor. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you have come to learn that the last thing you do is tell God what you're not going to do, because he has a sense of humor. And generally, he will turn things around and he will do exactly what you least expected. But anyway, so I did a lot of things throughout the church over the years, but anything but be a pastor. But my focus was still on bringing the truth to the body of Christ. That was just piercing my heart to see people that were getting deceived and pulled away from God's word. So then it was a few years, I don't know, it was about 15 years ago, a little bit longer than that. A really good friend of mine who I graduated from Bible college with and was his best man at his wedding, we were talking one day and he was sharing with me how he was getting really, really frustrated and discouraged as pastor in his church. It's a long story I won't go into. We don't have that much time. But anyway, I had asked him one day, have you ever thought about starting a new church? And he says, you know, I pray about that. I think about it all the time. I just don't know if that's what God wants me to do. And I said, well, then why don't we do this? Let's get together on a regular basis and let's pray about it. So we did. And after a few weeks, he one day contacted me and said, you know what? I really feel that's what God's calling me to do is to start a new healthy church. And we'll just grow it from the ground up. It won't be a split off from someplace. It won't be supported from someplace. It will just be a total standalone, independent, Bible-believing church. And so I said, great, you be the pastor, and I'll just be your associate or your assistant or your helper or whatever you want to label me, but I'll be there to help you along the way. So we started a church called Fellowship Community Church. And within the first couple of months, he contacted me again and said, I have to tell you that I have made a huge mistake. This is not where I should have gone. And I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Here was this brand new church, and God said, that's where I want you. And so I served as pastor of Fellowship Community Church for about 11 years. And it was one of the best learning experiences that I could have ever gone through as a pastor. I mean, God literally put me through it all. And I'm just so blessed that he gave me that opportunity. But through a whole lot of different circumstances and totally, as I look back, it was totally God's divine plan. We decided to call it quits on that and went and got involved in another little church for a short period of time. Unbeknownst to us, the whole reason that God brought it to this little segment in our life, this little season in our life, and why he took us to this little church was so Rochelle could meet her now husband, Matt. Had we not gone through this transition in our life and moved to this other little church for a period of time, they would have never met. Well, you know, maybe they would have. God has other ways of working, but that's how they got to meet each other. And dated for a while and eventually got married. And then once they got married, Kathy and I looked at each other and said, this is not the church we're supposed to be at. There was a lot of things that we didn't necessarily agree with, but yet God had us there for a season. And so then we went on the church hunt again. And long story short, but Kathy had remembered coming to Echo Mountain for a totally unrelated occasion, and she was here. She was familiar with it. So she got on the phone and called Pastor Dale and drilled him with 100 questions that we always would ask, and he had all the right answers. So we decided we'd come and visit Echo Mountain Church. And, you know, God has got such a sense of humor. So the Sunday that we showed up was one of the most abnormal services. The worship team was all gone. So Sandy at the last minute was asked to sing off of soundtracks and lead worship. Pastor Dale was out of town, so they asked Elder Chuck to preach that day. And it was a great message, but everything was just totally abnormal. It wasn't the usual Echo Mountain experience. And so when we got all done with the service, and Kathy looks at me, and I think she kind of had this look like, is this where we want to be? I can't explain it to you, but there was something inside of me that God was just saying, that's where I want you. And so we came back and again gave it another opportunity and came back and came back. And just the more we came, the more we sensed the Spirit of God working here. We sensed the love of the family. We sensed the commitment to staying with truth. And just everything that I believe in and stand for, we saw here. And this is our home. And so this is where we ended up. And as you know, the last three, whatever years now, I've been here to help lead worship whenever I could, to help fill the pulpit whenever was necessary, serve wherever I can. I just love to serve God. I'm passionate about speaking truth and sharing truth. That's really where my heart is. My heart is toward truth, absolute truth. So here we are. God's taken me and the family through a number of seasons. And, you know, I look back over the history of Echo Mountain Church, and I see where God has taken Echo Mountain Church through various seasons. There were seasons a number of years ago of some pretty major pruning. There was seasons where God has done some fertilizing and some planting. Where we're at now, God knows, but I'm confident we're right where he wants us. And I am excited that he's going to do some incredible things. So I'm just excited. And I hope that you can sense that excitement and that you have the same excitement as I have. Now, where do we go moving forward? I believe with all my heart that for God to build something, there has to be a good, solid, firm foundation. If you start building something on shaky ground anywhere. And so we need to have that firm foundation. And so when I was interviewed as to what would you do as senior pastor, what would your vision, your focus and all that be, the couple things that I shared that what I would do, first priority, is I would like to develop the eldership team, add a couple more elders to the team, and have monthly mandatory meetings where we would be on top of what's going on within Echo Mountain from a spiritual standpoint. How can we best serve the body of Christ? The other thing I told them that I would be doing is building or putting together an executive board. The executive board would be men and women that would oversee the property and the finances kind of from a business standpoint. From as far as I can remember, and everybody that I've talked to, Echo has never really had a budget. I already have put together an executive board. We have, of course, the elders temporarily, at least, on the board. By invitation of the elders, Chaz has agreed to come on, has a strong financial background, having worked with the bank for many years. So I think he would be a great addition to help oversee, you know, the financial part of Echo Mountain. Also by invitation of the elders, Jackie has agreed to come on. I see a lot of wisdom there. Definitely has demonstrated a love for God, a love for Echo Mountain. Just such a commitment and devotion to everybody here. And I also felt that it would be good to have a woman's wisdom to help keep us men in check. So it's a good balance. So we've already done that. We've already had a meeting or two and have talked about some things. We're going to have a lot more conversations as far as going forward. And so those are a couple of priorities that I've made, and we've already begun working pretty aggressively on that. We've already had, I don't know, three or four elder meetings, and we're kind of coming together with that. So it's all really good and exciting stuff. As elders, I really want us, you know, if nothing else, I want us to come together regularly and pray. Pray for Echo Mountain. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's direction. Pray that we wouldn't get ahead of God. You know, that was one thing that I always made it a priority with Fellowship Community Church is I don't care. I never want to get ahead of the Lord. You know, I'd have so many people say to me, well, if you would just start this program, it'll bring people in. Well, if you just do this, it'll bring people in. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of things that I could do. But if that's not what God wants, it's not going to work. And so I would wait on the Lord. And that's really my commitment in that. So I would have us praying on a regular basis, seeking God's guidance, his wisdom, his direction. And above all, staying on top of the spiritual needs of the body. And because we love you. and we want to take care of you. And we want to make sure that the enemy doesn't sneak in and do the kind of damage that he can so easily do. I also want to just comment about elders. I strongly believe, in fact, this was one of my thesis or major projects when I was in Bible college. They would give us some topic and they would say, we want you to go study this and prove yes or no or whatever. I truly believe Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the one leading the church. Under Christ, co-equally, are the elders. The pastor is one of those elders. Pastor's not above them, co-equal. Every elder is given some gift, some ability by God, and they all serve in different capacities. They all have different ways that God uses them. Pastor-teacher happens to be one of those gifts that could be given to an elder. And so I'm not above any of the other men. I'm co-equal with them, and we all report to Christ. And so that's truly how I feel Scripture teaches, and that's the way the elders would be here at Echo Mountain Church. I've already talked about the executive board. That's coming along. We've got a lot of things that we're talking about or going to be talking about in terms of the church. I guess this would be a good time to kind of mention a few things. One of the things that I have always found with a church, especially me personally, when I would go visit a church, of course, I would always make sure they're teaching the truth. I would always want to make sure that their worship is truly heartfelt worship and not just a show. But first impression was always a big thing to me. When I walk in the church and I see, you know, the first impression, what do I see? What's there that says, you need to come back? And I've had people comment to me as far as Echo is concerned, and I've kind of had some of these feelings myself, that when you first walk in, I don't see anything that screams out life or anything that says warmth or that says this is God's home that you need to be in. You know, for example, you come up the parking lot and you walk up the steps and you just got these four little dirt boxes there. We should have some plants, some life in there so that when you walk in, you see color and you see that there's life growing here. You walk in and everywhere you look is just cream-colored walls everywhere. There needs to be some color, some warmth in that. We've got a number of ideas that we've been throwing around where when you come in, there will be an area where you can go and gather with the family and have coffee, donuts, or whatever. Another area where you can go. And they'll be kind of different from each other. But a place that when you walk in, this is your home away from home. This is God's home, and we want it to feel like God's home. A place where you just you can't wait to be there. You know, it's not a place that you just run in a minute before service starts or a minute after in some cases, but a place that you want to get there maybe a half hour early just to spend time with the family. And so we want to develop that first impression, a place that when people come and visit that they're like, man, I've got to get back there. You know, Matt and Rochelle have been putting on the sock hop, and so does first and third Friday of every month, and this has been going on for almost 2 years. And it has become very successful. They're running 50 to 75 young people every week or every other week. And they've had a few of these kids that have started coming to the youth group. But I've asked the question, why aren't they bringing their families back to the church? And the comments that I get was, well, when they walk in here and they see, what are they seeing? What says to them, man, Mom and Dad, you got to come see this place. This is like another home, you know, a place where they can say this is truly God's home, where they can come and be a part of a family. And so first impression, that is a big thing for me. Over the weeks and months and who knows, maybe even years, you'll see a little bit of transformation. Well, I'm calling it a facelift to make God's church God's home. And so just expect to see some fun. And I would also invite you, I'm not in this by myself. Elders are not doing this by themselves. We're family. And if you've got some really, really good idea or thought or whatever, please share it with us. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but, you know, we don't have all the answers. We're listening to God, and God can use you just as easily as he can use us. And so let him speak through you and share what maybe you're hearing. And let's just make this more God's home, a place where people are excited to come and be. You know, there's no need for changing people's hearts here because everyone's hearts are already in love with God. Once people come and give it an opportunity and they get to know the people here, they sense the Spirit. They sense the family love. But there's got to be that little extra to make them want to come back. And so anyway, enough on that. How are we doing? Okay, I need to really speed up here. To summarize Ephesians 4, 11 through 15, this really captures my heart. It says, he, Christ, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He goes on, then we will no longer be infants, immature believers, tossed here and there by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, Christ. So some things you can expect from me. You already know, as I've shared, I have a heart for truth. I will not compromise the Word of God. We had an experience a number of years ago where we went and visited a church, and the pastor on that particular morning was preaching out of the passage where Paul says, I will be all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. Using that passage, he believed that from that day moving forward, he would not use the name Jesus in his messages because that could offend visitors. And so he was going to be all things to all people so that he wouldn't offend anybody. I'm sorry, but you're not going to hear me not talking about Jesus. I'm going to speak the truth from God's word, and I'm not going to compromise. I preach, my style of preaching is what I call, or what they call, expository preaching. I like to take a book, maybe one of Paul's letters or whatever, and we're going to start from verse 1, and we're going to go through the entire book. And the reason I like to do that is a couple of reasons. Number one, there's continuity. You can get a feel of what Paul's trying to say or what the author of the book is trying to say and how it applies. Another advantage to doing that is I can't cheat. I can't pick and choose scriptures. I can't get around the ones that are difficult to talk about. When we hit a passage that is really hard to talk about, we're going to go right through it. We're going to talk about it. And but it also be in context. It's another reason I like expository preaching, because everything stays in context. And it's also a lot easier to apply God's word when you're staying in that style of teaching. So that's my style. And by the way, next week we're going to start with Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. It's an exciting book, or exciting letter. So we're going to study through Galatians. Another thing that I really have a passion toward is heartfelt worship, and I kind of already touched on that a bit. But, you know, to me, worship is not about how noisy it is or how in tune it is. Or to me, it's about the heart. And I want you, as a body of Christ, to just be able to get into that mode of worship and not let things distract you. I would encourage you, and I can't say this strong enough, be here before service starts so that we're together and there's not the distraction of people coming and going through the door, but that we're all together as a body, as a family, worshiping the Lord. You know, if you're into raising hands, do it, please. You know, I guess the only thing I would say don't do is don't get out and roll in the aisles and jump up and down and, you know, all the kind of the weird stuff that you hear about some of the radical churches, but you know what I'm talking about. I just want your heart to be able to truly worship God, and that's what it's all about. And I wanted to have an environment where that's made possible. You know, we may even change it up sometimes because I don't want us to get into a routine that every week you can expect four songs, a message, two songs. You know, sometimes we may do two songs and a message and six songs, you know, or we may do just all worship. I think it would be cool sometimes to just have a Sunday morning where we just worship as a family. May change it up. You know, it's not going to be a routine. We're going to have just a way of keeping worship fresh because I want you to truly be able to have that heartfelt worship experience. I've already talked about keeping the family safe. That's my passion. That's truly what God has called me to do. I have such, when I see how the enemy is deceiving people, and even within the church, it just crushes me. It crushes me. And I want to do everything in my power, by the power of the Holy Spirit and with Christ's help, to keep you safe. And that's truly my heart. Communication is another thing I want to just quickly touch on. I want to keep you always informed of what's going on. We're family, and family needs to know. You know, so I don't want you just suddenly showing up one day and finding out that we moved this building out into that other parking lot or something, you know. Not that that's going to happen, but communication is a big thing. So I'm going to do the best I can to always be communicating so that as family we all know what's going on. And I think that pretty much covers my heart. I'm going to close by saying that something you're going to hear me speaking probably a lot on is what I call the five E's. The five E's. Those are educate, enlighten, encourage, enable, and empower. By educate, I mean I want to teach the scriptures. I want to teach them in truth. I want to teach them in a way that you understand God's word. I want to teach them in a way that you can apply them to your lives. I remember years ago having a pastor tell me that sheep can only eat off the ground. If you put food up in a trough, they can't eat it. They can only eat off the ground. And so he always told me, you know, as a pastor, you need to put God's word down on the ground so that the sheep can eat it. And, you know, there's people in the body of Christ that know the word better than I do, you know, and they can eat pretty hefty food. But then there's others that can't. And I want to put the word of God down where everybody can digest it, where they can all truly understand what God's speaking. So that's the educate. The enlightened part, couldn't really think of a better word because that can give you kind of weird feelings, but it's an E. So enlighten. By that, I mean I want to help you discover what God is calling you to do. Every single believer in the body of Christ has a gift that God has given them. Every believer in the body of Christ has a calling that God has called them to. And I am very, very, very opposed to people saying, I'll go do whatever you need being done, if that's not what God's called them to do. I have found in my own life that I get most excited when I'm doing that which God has called me to do. And I want to help each individual person discover what God has called them to do. What makes them get excited? What makes them just want to serve the Lord? Encourage is the third E, and that's just to come alongside each of you and to get you excited about wanting to serve God. I remember Well, I've had a lot of people ask me, and I'll just kind of throw this as a good time to throw it out. I've had some people say, how are you going to be pastor of the church and also have another job? There's a reason for me doing that, and that is because Echo has been really struggling for the last couple years from a financial standpoint, and I don't want to put that burden on Echo. So I told them before they even put me in this position, I said, I will not take a salary, at least for a while, until the church truly gets turned around and God is really moving. I have another job outside of here that pays me very, very well. So I will maintain that job. However, the good thing is I get done at that job at 2:30 in the afternoon. So it gives me a whole half a day to live life, to do Echo Mountain. And Echo Mountain, I remember Dale asking me one day, how do you balance the two? And my answer to him and my answer to anyone that would ask me is, my Honeywell job is my hobby. I just enjoy doing it. It's something that I grew up doing. It's kind of in my blood. I enjoy it. It's a hobby, and I just happen to get paid well for doing that hobby. Echo is my passion. The church, serving God is my passion. That's what truly drives me. That's what motivates me. And I learned a number of years ago, and this is something you're going to hear me preach about also. If you have a good handle on God's grace, you will never get burned out. There's a book that I highly recommend called Grace Walk by Steve McVeigh. It was a life changer for me a number of years ago. But here's a pastor who had been pastor for many, many years, and one day he broke down in his office in tears, so burned out. And God spoke to him and said, it's about grace. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you're getting out of it. It's all about grace. And so he made it his effort to really, truly study grace and get to know grace intimately. And the outcome was he realized that his motive for what he was doing was totally wrong. And once he got a handle on grace, once grace was what drove him, he was excited every day to just serve God. And that's where I'm at. I can't get burned out because I understand what God has done for me. I understand the price he paid for me, how much he loves me. I can't help but want to reciprocate and do everything I can to serve him. And if you have that kind of understanding of his grace, you won't be burned out by serving God, especially if you're doing what he's called you to do. So anyway, I want to come along and encourage you and help you to understand that. Fourth thing is enable, and that is just basically to provide you with the opportunities to exercise the gifts that God's given you. And then lastly, empower. That is to give you the resources to be able to exercise your gifts, give you the freedom to serve God. You know, God may be calling you in a way that isn't the way I would do something, but it doesn't make it right or wrong. And I want to give you, empower you to have the freedom to be able to serve the way God has called you to serve. And it's going to be an awesome thing. It's going to be an awesome thing. As God is the one that is moving, as God is the one that's driving, as God is the one that's empowering, he's going to do some tremendous things at Echo Mountain. And so I'm excited, and I hope you're excited. And you need to go out and tell everybody else, God's doing some amazing things, and you need to come check this out. So I will close real quickly. Does anybody have any questions? I'm an open book. I'm transparent. Anything you want to know? And if not, why don't the worship team go ahead and come on up, and we'll take a moment to take an offering. Offering is for God's family. You know, just to be able to give back to God, even just a small portion of what he's given to us, is a blessing. And so we take that opportunity as part of worship, and God bless you. Thank you.